So, just a tiny bit of talking before we start. There are a lot of different approaches to exercise with scoliosis. There are three books in the back. They all have different approaches. The way that I approach the exercises, as you guessed by now, I start with relaxation. I always start by reducing the tension that I can just by using my attention. We notice what's tight, we talk to that part of the body, we invite it to relax, and we can do a lot just by starting there. So that's how I like to start. So we just did that. And then moving into the breath from there. So I think you have this list on your handouts of the order that I like to put the exercises in, the types of exercises, starting with breathing, and then we move into core work and pelvic alignment. So how do we stabilize and strengthen in toward the spine? And generally we do that bilaterally, so both sides. Even though one side will tend to be weaker than the other, we want to be strong on both sides. We might need to work a little harder on one side than the other. And then we connect arms and legs to trunk. So with that core strength we've developed, then we move our arms and legs while keeping the core turned on. Then I like to go into lengthening the spine, so exercises that provide some traction or either traction by gravity or traction by lengthening through extending with muscle. So both of those. And then we work into strengthening the weak muscles. So when we looked at the slides, we looked one side tends to be weaker than the other. So we work then more specifically to the curve that we have. So up to that point, the breathing, the core work, the connecting the arms and legs to the trunk, the lengthening the spine, anybody can do those. Those are good for everyone. Then we move into specific exercises for our curve. So then we strengthen that concave side, and then we work into derotating the spine, which is kind of, I think, the juiciest part of working with scoliosis, is how do we twist effectively and safely. And then I have on here, too, self-massage and restorative postures. We sell these, I think she still sells these yoga tune-up balls here. Those are so wonderful for massaging the, especially for me, I like to massage the convex side, right? The side where it's more pronounced, where the muscles, like I said, are short. Those are the muscles that feel really good to massage with like a therapy ball. We're not gonna do that in this class, but I did wanna write it down because it's so helpful. And then a deep breath, relaxation, and mindfulness meditation. Okay, so we're just going to get right into it. One note about your sheets that you have. So my 15-year-old took these pictures for me. It was so nice of her. She was like, how many more? How many more? But anyhow, I wasn't able to print them in the order that we actually are going to do them. So I numbered them. So you'll see on your sheets, you'll have what number picture goes with what pose. That, I hope, is self-explanatory, but I explained it. So most of the exercises we're going to do, there's at least a picture, and I encourage you to take some notes on those pictures if there are certain actions or certain things when we do these postures that are helpful to you that you want to remember, just to jot it down. So that's it. The rest of this I'm kind of going to treat like a yoga class, like you would come to a yoga class and do exercises for scoliosis, but the difference being, feel free to interrupt me with your questions, especially teacher training. If you have questions about teaching certain parts of this, you can ask me those questions. Okay, so I'm going to have to work a little creatively with you on the chair, so bear with me for that. You might just have to wait sometimes for me to get to giving you the modification, but everything can be done standing or seated. Okay. You don't need to come to the floor. We're going to start on our backs on the floor again, this time to do some more active breathing. So you won't need any props right now. Have a block close by, but
breath to begin. And I'd like you to place your hands first on the chest, one hand on your chest. And just take a few breaths, feel your breath there in the chest. Yes, I'm telling you to chest breathe for a moment. And take a hand and place it on your belly, that can be your other hand. Take some breaths into your belly here. And then take both hands to the rib cage. So both sides of the rib cage, fingertips pointing toward each other. And see if you can expand into the ribs with your breath here. Just feel that for a few breath cycles. Actually, diaphragmatic breathing isn't really belly breathing. Yes, the belly moves when we breathe, but we're not forcing breath into the belly. When we're using the diaphragm, we're really exercising that muscle that's at the connects to the base of the rib cage. So firm up the tummy just a little bit. Firm up the belly a little bit. Most of us can do that just by kind of telling it engage a little bit. And see if when you firm up the tummy a little bit, you can press into the rib cage with your breath. This is something that takes practice and time, so if it doesn't happen right away, that's okay. If you have scoliosis, it's likely that it's harder to breathe into one side than the other. So really, sometimes taking the thumbs behind and the fingers in front, like I am right here standing, you can really press into the base of the rib cage with your breath. So just a few more breaths like this, really expanding into the ribs. And this is our first exercise of just really using the breath, using diaphragmatic breath to try to expand into the concavity. And now feel into your back, the way your back is contacting the floor, and we've taken some time to kind of see, I hope, and maybe feel where the concave place is. So where's the place on your back that's not in as firm contact with the floor? And see if you can breathe into that area. And this is what some teachers call rotational angular breathing. We're really trying to feel that circumference of the rib cage and breathing into the places that might feel a little concave or a little flattened. Again, this takes practice, so this is something to take home and include in daily practice or maybe a few times a week. So really breathing into the areas of the back that feel like they're not in as firm contact with the floor. Let's just take one more breath like this. And then we'll release from there. Just breathe naturally. Okay. We're going to take some core work, working both sides equally now. So I'd like you to take your block that you have nearby and place it between the thighs, just about mid-thigh on its most narrow setting. I'm not going to get into pelvic floor work today, although that's a huge part of this. I will mention it for those who already know what that is, to engage the muscles of the pelvic floor. But for now, we're mostly going to be focusing on the abdomen. Okay, so just using that block for now as a placeholder to keep your knees, you know, parallel. Knees are kind of lined up with the hips. And I'd like you to inhale naturally, and then on your exhalation, you're going to exhale through pursed lips like this. You're going to keep going and going and going, right? And you'll feel the muscles of the belly hug in toward each other, hug in toward the spine. We'll do about 6 of those. So the inhale is just natural. That block is a placeholder there. You're holding the block in place, not squeezing it, just holding it in place gently. So this is my favorite strengthener for the transverse abdominis muscles. And these are important muscles for stability of the spine, especially the low back. They're called by some your corset muscles, and they're considered to be one of the deep core muscles of the body. So the inhale is just natural, the exhale, squeezing like you're squeezing the water out of the sponge. Good, and let's just do one more of those. Okay, and then relax. What some people find is that when they start to engage the core muscles, the neck and the jaw want to tighten up too. So we're going to do another round of something similar. With that in mind, try to keep the jaw and the neck from wanting to help, because those actually aren't needed for this exercise at all. You have to remind them that sometimes. So now we're going to do what's called a zip up, and you'll hear a lot of PTs and other people use this phrase, zip up. One of my clients calls it the pantyhose pull up, which I think is funny. So on your exhale, this is a 3-part movement. Again, I'm not going to talk about the pelvic floor so much, but that is part of this movement. So on the exhale, the first thing we do is squeeze the block. That's part one. Part two, the pelvic floor muscles engage and lift toward the belly. Part three, we finish with that strong end of the exhale and the transverse abdominis muscles engage. So we try to build this, and I think this is really important for when we get into those back extension postures and things, because trying to feel, being able to feel how the engagement actually comes from the root, comes from like the floor if we're standing on our feet, the pelvic floor or the inner thighs, moving the muscular engagement up the spine this way can be really helpful when we do twists especially, and that happens. So we'll take about 4 of these. So inhale naturally. Exhale, you're going to squeeze the block. Okay, and the muscles of the pelvic floor engage, and then the belly hugs in at the end. So we have three kind of distinct parts, but they will flow into each other. The inhale is just a release. Let everything go, especially neck, jaw, shoulders. The belly just receives that in-breath when you breathe. And at this point, we're not tilting the pelvis. We're not lifting the tailbone, right? So other than seeing your belly move with your breath, I'm not seeing any movement externally. It's really those core muscles. This is really stabilizing. If you have one leg that likes to turn out, this can help correct that. So probably have about one more. I think I said 4. Some of you are finished, so you'll just rest. And then from here, you'll release the block. Excuse me. Okay, so one more core strengthener we'll do from here, and these are called toe touches. You'll take your knees up to 90 degrees, so feet are off the floor. Mm-hmm. And if you're seated in a chair, Robert, you're already at 90 degrees. So for you, I'm just going to have you, like you're marching, you're going to lift one foot, you're going to lift the other foot, and you're going to try to keep your back upright as you do that. Okay. If you're on the floor, you're going to take one heel down toward the mat. Mm-hmm. And bring it back up, and you're going to take the other heel down to the mat and back up. So that's the movement. We want to keep a sense of that core strength here, so the low back actually actually hug slightly down toward the floor. And I'm saying slightly because we're not pushing the low back down to the floor. There actually should be a tiny bit of space between your low back and the floor. That would be a neutral spine. If you have scoliosis though, one side might always be in contact with the floor. So you're moving with your breath here. You can use the breath however you want, but being aware and keeping the breath as part of the movement. So maybe you exhale as you drop a foot down, you inhale as you bring it up.
So do you want the tailbone completely down or
no? The tailbone's going to stay down on this one,
okay.
Or at least the back of the pelvis is flat on the floor as much as possible, right? So we're not letting the pelvis tilt as we go.
Okay.
Oh yeah, no, just yeah. It's you don't need to overthink it too much.
Okay.
So, yeah, as far as the tailbone goes,
okay.
You got it. Yeah. So from there, yeah. And if you just drop the heel down, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are we exhaling when we lower, or are you not?
It's kind of a technical question for me. The hardest part is when the heel is down. So that's actually when I want my exhale to be happening.
Yeah.
If you want to be technical, like.
Yeah.
But it's easy for people to just know, like, heel down, exhale,
moving
back up, breathing
in. Yeah, on the main part of the work, at engaging the transverse abdominis.
Exactly, yeah. So she just said on the main part of the work, engaging the transverse abdominis. So you want that strong exhale to be happening at the hardest part of the movement. Exhale on exertion. Okay, so you've been doing this for a while. Let's just hug the knees into the chest and take a break. Are you feeling the belly muscles working here? Yeah? That one involves, again, transverse abdominis and also a little bit of obliques because we're doing a side-to-side movement, and both of those need to be strong to support the spine, regardless of what type of curve you have. So from here, let's go to connecting arms and legs to trunk. So this next one, the next couple are really about about moving arms and legs. So I love this one. I don't have weights for everyone, so you're going to have to try it at home with some weights. I like 3-pound weights for this next one. So you'll come onto your back. You're already on your back. Feet flat on the floor. And you're going to take your arms toward the ceiling. You might need to get to where you can see this, or you can look at your pictures. This one is the first of connect arms and legs to trunk. So shrug shoulders away and toward the floor. So this one looks like this. If I'm holding my weights here, the first part of it, I'm gonna press up toward the ceiling. I'm not gonna hold that part for very long because it doesn't feel great for my neck, but it is helpful just to feel the opposing movements. So I'm gonna press up toward the ceiling, and then I'm gonna let the weight of the weights with straight arms, hug the shoulders down toward the floor. So I'm kind of trying to hollow out between my shoulder blades when I get to this point. And again, you can press up, and then it helps from the pressing up to have somewhere to go from there to the other end of it. So even though you don't have weights, let's all try this together, because it feels good even without weights to me. So, with your, just take a look at your arms, right? We want the wrists to be generally lined up with the shoulders. So the wrists are right over the shoulders vertically. Okay? And then press away from the floor. So your shoulders are actually going to lift away from the floor for a moment. And then you're going to shrug your shoulders down to the floor like they have some magnet on the back of the shoulders, and they're going to hug down in toward the mat. You can do that a few times. Go ahead and lift up toward the ceiling and then hug back down toward the mat. Doing that a few times. And then when you get to that position where they're hugging down toward the mat with arms nice and straight, just hold that for a few breaths. We talked a little bit about how often we're trying to correct that shoulder rolling forward. So with this one, using the weight, it's a passive way
going to do is a two-strap Supta Padangusthasana for those who know the Sanskrit. Okay. This one takes a little setup. We saw in that video, and when we looked at each other's spines, how often one side of the waist is shorter than the other. One hip might be higher than the other. I love this one for helping to level the hips and lengthen that side of the waist that feels a little short. So I'm going to have you get up so that you can see. Everyone's going to need one strap at least that's nice and long. And I have some extras up here, so we'll see. You'll see why. So this one, one leg is straight.
Second strap.
The other knee is bent. And then I'm going to snug this strap up here. We're going to do both sides, but for those with lumbar scoliosis, one side is going to need this more than the other. So I'm snugging this strap up so that if I press my foot on the straight leg forward, it's going to give a little tug to this hip here. And then I'm just going to hold my knee here. And as you can probably see, this hip, if this were my higher hip, this is going to help pull and lengthen this side of the waist. So this is the starting place with just one strap. And then adding the second strap goes on the lifted leg this way. I will say at this point, which I probably should have said earlier, if you have a lot of kyphosis, if you have a lot of rounding to your upper back, place a blanket under your head. This is good. We just want to loosen this strap up enough that you can get it right into the hip crease. And then kind of re-snug it. Tighten it up, you said, or lengthen? Well, it looks like you need to lengthen it just to get it there. And then you'll
get
it. Yeah, and now you'll snug it a little bit. But you want to keep it right up in that hip crease, so you're going to really, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And you want it more snug than that. Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah.
But I'm going to rotate it this way so that the buckle doesn't get in your way.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to
lengthen it. a day or do it three times?
I would include this maybe three times a week in regular practice. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who don't have time to practice like an hour and a half a day, which is most people, like to alternate between the things that are more restorative and stretching and the things that are more engaging and active. So that's why I say maybe three times a week. It's more of a stretchy than a strengthening.
Work on the concave side more. Like maybe.
Yes.
Switch here.
Yeah. Lisa just pointed out you might want to work more on one side. Like whichever side of your waist feels shortened, you might want to work a little longer on that side. So, success is switching sides.
Cool.
Now, are we switching just because that's what we should do? I thought we only did this on the side that needed lengthening.
Well, I do it on both sides because it feels good to me to do it on both sides, but technically, yeah, you could probably skip the second strap and just do the hamstring stretch on the second side if, you know, if you don't have time or if it's not pleasant. I like yoga to be pleasant. And generally it is. Very pleasant. So I like to do this one on both sides because I do like it. And so feeling into the areas where there's some resistance. Does anyone need help switching sides? Okay. We're almost, some of you have been here for a while, so if you need to release, you can go ahead. Yeah. So, actually this leg's based on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
This comes up. Mm-hmm. And if this buckles in a hard spot, you might just rotate the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, most of us are there. This is called two straps, Supta Padangusthasana. Supta is reclined, hand to foot pose, Padangusthasana. For your notes. Two straps, Supta Padangusthasana. Okay. What I have next on your list is a hamstring strengthener at the wall. We're not going to move to the wall, but we're going to do it with chairs since we all have chairs with us. And most people who have scoliosis will have a discrepancy. One set of hamstrings is stronger than the other. So, we're going to strengthen the hamstrings. I'm not going to tell you to do one side more or the other side more, but we're really trying to isolate which one is a little weaker and work a little more on that side. Okay, for me, with my right thoracic, generally the pattern would be if you have right thoracic, left lumbar scoliosis, the left hamstrings are going to be weaker. That's not everybody, though.
Right thoracic, left lumbar?
Yeah, that when we looked at how many people, you know, it was like 90% have that right thoracic, 70% have that left.
Yeah.
Right. So most people will have the left hamstrings a little bit weaker than the right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take your chair and just place it at the bottom of your mat. I do prefer doing this on the wall, so I'll pretend like I have a wall here, so I think it works better. So if my feet were flat on the wall, I would press my feet in toward the wall and pull down. Pull my feet down. They're super glued to the wall, so they're not actually going anywhere. But my hamstrings are engaging, so once I lift my pelvis off the floor, it's not doing quite as much. Start by hugging the low back down toward the floor. Okay, so we're going to turn on some of those abdominal muscles right away. So the low back hugs down toward the floor. You can add that exhalation here. Just to feel that those corset muscles are supporting and tightening as a band around the low torso. And then holding the belly kind of
I'll say 30% engagement to the abdominals. You're going to pull down the heels like you're pressing them down toward the floor. And you can take your hands to the back of the thighs. Release for a moment and you'll feel the back of the thighs soften. Press down into the chair with your heels. You'll feel the back of the legs engage. Right? So if you're not sure if you're getting it, you're not sure if you're using the hamstrings, you can literally feel the hamstrings are turning on here when I press down into the chair. So let's try this. And if you press and hold for a couple of breaths, you might feel like, oh, it's harder on one side than the other. Again, that's not everybody, but this is generally a good hamstring strengthener, safe hamstring strengthener, because we're on the floor.
We're lifting our pelvis.
You're not going to lift your pelvis. If you lift your pelvis, the glutes are going to get involved too, which is okay. But it's more isolating the hamstrings when you don't. So for you on a chair, there's another way to do this. You can just act like you're going to pull back. So first start by coming upright.
Yep.
And then take your foot to the floor.
You can probably do this in a swimming pool.
And you're going to pretend your foot is glued to the floor, so don't move it. You're going to pull it back.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because this is the one, this hamstring is the one that gets really bad cramps.
Yes.
So this must be the really tight one.
Well, the ones that get the cramps are the weak ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cramps are a sign of that muscle injury. Okay. Are we feeling this engagement here? Hamstring engagement? Okay. So let's take one more round wherever you are. Exerting on the exhale is helpful always. And then release from there. And just set your feet back to the floor. Okay. So let's come up from here to all fours. So we're going to come to cat and cow. That for everyone. If you're at work, if you're on an airplane, if you're somewhere where you can't get down on all fours, you can always do cat and cow on a chair. Okay, so on the chair, this would be the inhale here and the exhale here. So couple of notes here. I know we have all different levels in the class today, so if wrists are an issue for anyone, you have a lot of options. One, you can go on fists instead of palms. Christine has those great barbells back there. Those are, if you are going to take this practice home and wrists are achy or tired, those can really help. One thing that's really useful is segmental movement of the spine. So we want to try to feel the parts of the spine that don't move as easily. And we want to try to move those parts. So as we go into this, I'd like you to isolate different areas. So we're going to do this together. So just come to neutral. And on your exhalation, start by tucking the tailbone down like you're a bad dog. Tailbone goes down first, okay? Then the mid-back arches toward the ceiling. Then the upper back arches toward the ceiling. Okay, and then come out of it the same way. The tailbone's going to lift up first. Then the mid-back softens toward the floor. Then we soften between the shoulder blades and the head lifts last. So let the movement start at the tailbone. Okay? Exhale, tailbone rounds down. Then mid-back, then upper back. And then the other direction, so tailbone lifts up, belly softens, mid-back, upper back. So I'm only identifying three places, but if you're really sensitive, you might be able to articulate a dozen.
Okay, so next thing we're gonna do is work a little bit with some traction exercises. So these are my favorite. I might say that a lot. I just have a lot of favorites. I do. I love yoga. Luckily, that's what I do. Let's start with a wall press. Okay, so this one is like a downward facing dog at the wall. And I'm going to demonstrate this. You can come around, especially for yoga teacher training students. I want you to see this and get this. This is great to know. So I'm going to just take this spot right in the middle. You can come around so that you can see. I'm going to move this a little bit. Step on your mat. Oh. So I'm going to start with my hands at about hip height. I can take my arms overhead. And I have that range of motion for my shoulders. For people who don't have that much range, they're not going to be able to get to a 90-degree angle. Their hands are going to be higher. So for me, my arms can go overhead, so I can come to here, and I'm pretty much in a straight line. If I didn't have this much range, right, I would look a little more like this. And that's okay. Or like this, maybe. Right? So it will look different on different bodies, but what I want you to get is that when I'm here, if I am a student who has scoliosis A, it's likely that one hand is going to be higher than the other on the wall, and that's just the way I naturally go into the pose. Mm-hmm. So as a teacher, you can help to adjust that. That's first adjustment, right? We want hands to be level to each other. Okay, so second, often in yoga classes, I'll have a teacher come over and they'll come to that, not at this studio, they'll come to that raised part of my back and say, soften here. Has anyone had that happen?
Yes.
Soften here, right? Mm. And you can't soften there if you have scoliosis. It doesn't move that way. So the better idea is to say, fill in here. The concave side, we want to fill into that side. So what I might do as a teacher is just put my hand on the concave side and say, breathe into my hand here. Because using the breath is really the best way to fill that concavity. So let's all come to a wall spot. You don't need your mats because this is the only one we'll do at the wall right now. And I'll get out of the way. You know what, let's do this with a partner. Since I just said that, let's go ahead and do this with a partner. So you don't need as much wall space. So just get with anybody, if you're a person who has scoliosis or not, teacher training person or not. Thank you.
sitting on the left.
Did I have any sort of in my bag? Okay.
Just a little
bit. So that's raised on the left?
Right. It looks like it's raised on the left. Okay. Right, it's a little bit lower.
Yeah.
It looks like time, I guess. I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I think your hands will level it. If you love it.
Strong because I've done this here a lot.
could also use those straps on the wall if you're in like an IMR studio or somewhere that has those. Okay, so then I'm going to come forward here. And my hamstrings are a little tight. I'm going to get more out of this if I take them out of the picture and just soften my knees. So from here, I'm just going to reach forward, and this feels so good. So I'm really just lengthening the spine on both sides evenly, and you can imagine it's kind of taking some of that curvature out for me.
So up on your toes.
I'm on my toes. I do have tight hamstrings, so some people who have really long hamstrings can do this with their heels down. If I put my heels down, this is on the video too. If I put my heels down, see how my back rounds? Mm-hmm. All exaggerated, but right. If, with my knees down, I can really lengthen the whole spine. Mm-hmm. Once I put my knees down, I just I go into a little bit of flexion for the spine. So here I can kind of lengthen all of it here. I have more rounding happening. Yeah. So how do we do this with a partner? We use a strap. You don't need a loop in the strap. We just hold the strap for the other person. Can you finish with this? Is this okay for me? I'm going to hold the strap. For, you want to hold it for me? If you want to do it, or do you want to be the helper or the doer? Okay. So you're going to take this strap right in your hip crease, and you can just come right here. You won't need the mat. And I'm just going to have my good posture. I'm just going to stand here and hold the strap, and she's going to do the rest. Okay, but I'm just going to make sure that I have nice, upright posture.
Okay. And I just
bend your knees.
Bend my knees.
Bend your knees. It's right there in the hip crease. Yeah. And you can trust me that I'm not going to let the strap go. Yeah. And as she leans forward more, I'm going to lean back a little bit more. Yeah, and you can walk your hands forward more, more, more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can bend your knees a little bit. There
we go. Should she be on her fingertips? For flat hand?
I like it on my fingertips because it feels like I'm reaching farther that way. It gets like kind of more of those lines of energy engaged than if I'm on flat hands. Okay. And then when she's ready to come back up, I'm just going to keep holding this for her. You can bend your knees, take your hands to your hips when you're ready. You can really come up any way you want. So once I feel her like shift her weight back, I'm not going to keep pulling. Thank you very much. Okay. So this is our last partner exercise. I'm not going to partner you together for this one. I'll be your partner. All right, so this is assisted downward dog. So find someone to work with.
Not really, okay.
That's so amazing. So you and then I'm just going to do a little bit of a
Give me a few.
Two more seconds.
Deep breaths.
We do this at the gym.
And then we're each other.
Stretching back. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have, you know,
it's strong.
Hey, we are. Demonstrate a little bit first, okay? So just watch. My two sides are different. So when I take this strap up overhead, let's work on the concave side first. That's this side, right? I want to lengthen that side. I want to lengthen that side waist here. So I'm going to lengthen by pressing down into that foot, and I'm really focusing on lengthening this whole side. Arching the other direction.
Right, you're, yeah.
Arching, right, typically, it's going to be easier for me to arch this way. That's my natural, that's going with my curve.
Yeah.
I'm going away from my curve a little bit this way.
You can turn with the lower,
you know, we're going to do both sides. So it depends on your curve and what's different, but for me, I have a little bit of that lumbar. I'm going to press on this side. I'm going to be focusing on lengthening the side waist by pressing into my foot, and my upper back is going kind of opposing the way it naturally curves. When I go to the other side, this is the way it's easier for me to turn, and I already have this little forward rotation of this shoulder this way, so I'm going to think more about just keeping that shoulder open as I arch to this side. So this side, it's more about what's happening in my upper back. This side, it's more about lengthening this whole lower side.
And it depends on your curve. Like, I would have to tell each of you individually what to focus on where, but just try it. And you can take it home and experiment. So start again with the feet. Press up into that strap evenly to begin with both sides. Okay? And then you'll arc. When you're arcing away from your curve, basically, we want to keep those hands parallel to each other and the shoulders parallel to each other. So this could be a good one to do in a mirror because you would notice if one hand was moving forward of the other. Do you have the right thoracic and the left lumbar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's what I have too. Not as much lumbar, but I've got a little. So maybe that's helpful to face away from you, right? Mm-hmm. So my spine curves this way. Mm-hmm. It goes to the right and then to the left. So when I'm going to the right, I'm going to really focus on lengthening my left side waist by pressing down into my left. When I go to the left, I'm really just going to focus on keeping this arm and hand, the right arm and hand, back. Because they're going to want to go forward a little bit like this. I'm going to just focus on keeping shoulders and hands parallel, even if that means I don't arc as far.
And hips, because I find that if I'm here,
and
I go
hips.
Like this.
Yeah, and hips.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, breathing.
So, stretching the shoulder.
Stretching the shorter side, yeah. You're stretching the shorter side. Yeah, wherever it's shortened. Wherever those muscles are in there. Locked, short, state. And then we'll go from here to triangle pose with a chair. This one is a hand up. We'll have the pictures. I have to look at the pictures. In general with the feet. Okay, so both
hip crease right here. And then as I fold here, I'm hinging at that hip crease. And then the arm is reaching for the chair seat. So I'm continuing to hinge there at that hip crease, keeping my shoulders level to each other, and I'm focusing on lengthening the underside of the pose from my hip. Press your head a little bit back into your hand so that the head isn't forward. Yeah. Okay, this one is a little on the more challenging side, so not every pose is for every person. If it's too much, just take a break.
Have you understood what I'm talking about here?
Yeah. So if I have a curve, I'm going to exaggerate. If my curve is this way, this side is going to be, I'm trying to pull up out of that. Yeah? So it's like I'm sending the left ribs down toward the floor.
The opposite side of your curve.
Yeah.
The concave side. Of
I'm pressing the concave side down toward the floor.
Right.
Okay. The other side.
It's easier.
Less complicated.
It's easier.
On this side, I'm really. You can take your hand up toward this guy here, and on this side, I'm really focusing more on the action of this shoulder, right? So I'm not letting this shoulder come forward, but I'm really hugging back. I'm hugging this shoulder back in space. So both feet are turned, so the front foot is turned completely to the front of the room, or the back if you're the other way, it's okay. Yeah, and then we're not elongating the underside, so here you can just reach for the chair seat if it's accessible. So take some breaths here. It seems like this might be a good moment to come back to the class theme of embracing.
So much easier.
Yes. Yeah. And most of us who practice yoga and the more challenging poses, they will be much harder on one side than the other. So come on up from here. Okay. You okay with that one? Triangle pose again. It's
We could take a full half hour on triangle pose, so
we're not going to do that, but if that was challenging or caused pain, just don't do it yet. No. We build it slowly.
Abby, are you local? Mm-hmm. So if anyone in here wanted to get some private sessions with you to get clear, they could do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for promoting my private yoga session.
Yeah. It was nice to feel really confident about what you're doing.
Yeah. I'd say the triangle pose, for me, triangle pose, warrior one pose, those are the hardest poses of all in yoga. Because there's a rotation. You're doing a rotation. Warrior one pose, I'm rotating. I have to work against the curve. They're hard. They're hard poses. So unless you've been practicing for a long time, like I know you've been practicing for a long time, you know how to build those poses and make them work for you. If you're new to yoga for scoliosis, those poses might be a little advanced for your repertoire to begin. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to move from here to strengthening. So let's come now to all fours. And we'll take quadruped pose, so just all fours. So from all fours, you're going to come to what's a pretty neutral spine. When I say that, I mean you're not rounding, you're not arching, you're right in the middle. And take an exhale here. First, take an inhale. When you exhale, again, you're going to engage the abdominal muscles. And then you'll take another in-breath. And without changing anything else about your pose, you're going to slide your right leg back behind you, toes tucked under. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have a blanket in the way, you might need to move it. So this is the movement. We're just alternating sides. One leg slides back, comes back to center. The other leg slides back and comes back to center. But what we're looking for here is the sway. So if you look back at your legs, if you did this without embracing or engaging anything, you would probably lean your hips a little bit to one side. So what we're doing is stabilizing. We're not letting the hips shift at all as we sneak that leg behind. And if you do that, you'll feel the belly muscles engage to support the action. And some of you who are more advanced might choose to lift the leg and go into the full bird dog pose. But I like to always build it from the foundation. So looking for the muscles that are required to prevent that sway from happening. And I'm not seeing any swaying hips from side to side. So do a few more and see if you can really feel the belly muscles that are required to do this action, to keep the pelvis stable as you slide one leg and the other back. Really good concentration. It really takes a lot of concentration, and it's not easy. It's hard. Good. Here. Some of you are going back into child's pose. Let's just all do that for a few breaths. So the hips will come back to the heels. Good. Yeah. Just resting hips on heels. Taking some restful breaths. Challenging yoga posture. I'm going to break it down so that we can do it in bits. So one way to work into forearm plank if you're not ready for the full pose is just to slide one leg back, just like you just did from that quadruped pose. So slide one leg back, tuck the toes under. Mm-hmm. And slide the other leg back, tuck the toes under. For those of you who have a more advanced practice, you can take both feet back. And then from here, really press your elbows down into the floor, lift into your upper back. Good. Yeah, so we're trying to really lift into that concave side. Good. Okay, and then lower one knee and the other back down to the floor. And let's just come back to a child's pose again from here. That abdominal strengtheners while in a lengthened state are better for scoliosis, which means crunches not so good. Things like what we're doing, all these abdominal strengtheners and core strengtheners that we've done have been with the spine in neutral, mm-hmm. not the spine in flexion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. one more strengthener, and then we're going to work into rotations with twists, which are really juicy. So coming into this side forearm plank, and this is the pose that has been researched as being the best pose for scoliosis. I don't know, but I'm just sharing that information. Not that I could say one pose is the answer. So I'm going to work from here so you can all see me. And no, you're fine. So in the article, which you have sourced there, there are a few different variations that are given. Generally, this one is about strengthening the underside. You can do it on both sides, really, but the actions are different. Just like that Urdhva Hastasana we did, the actions are different on each side here. So I'm going to start on this side, and what I'm focusing on this side is strengthening the concavity, right? Strengthening the concave side. So to strengthen this concave side here, this is like my rib cage that is on the concave side, I'm lifting my ribs away from the floor here. So this action right here, like I'm not even lifting my hips off the floor. Most people can do this part, right? You can probably do this part. If you want to come into the full side plank, there are a few options for the feet. One is to have the feet stacked one in front of the other. The other is to have the feet stacked on top of each other. We're still strengthening this underside here. So whether you're fully lifting the hips or you're just engaging the muscles that it would take to lift the hips, you're still strengthening. You don't have to do the final form of the pose. So
how long should you hold it?
The article actually says a length of time. I'm not sure what it is, but it's a long time. It's like minutes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So obviously 20 minutes. But it's a few minutes. Yeah.
How long did you say?
I think it's a couple of minutes.
Oh, I think it's 20
minutes or something.
I think I'm a little confused because you have the same lumbar.
Mm-hmm.
Your lumbar goes
mm-hmm.
this way, right?
Yeah.
And you were on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just opposite. It's not going towards the left.
Mm-hmm.
Lower. Yours goes right.
No, mine goes to the left lower too.
And you were on your left side.
I was on the left side, yeah.
You're talking in relation to the thoracic.
Right, right.
Yes.
She's talking about the concave part of her thoracic spine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about lifting the ribs there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So we can do this on the side that is the convex side as well. But we want to pay attention to this shoulder. So if this shoulder on the other side wants to run forward, which it might does, my first action here is really going to be hugging this shoulder back. So for people who don't have the rotator cuff strength to keep this shoulder back, this would not be an indicated pose. This would be contraindicated on this side.
Even in that very modified, like
this
six,
very modified, yeah. You can start here and just it's focusing on the action of the shoulder
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So this is mostly done one sided for people who have scoliosis. And I'm just going to direct you to the article about it. To me, this is a quite advanced pose, so you know, we have so many levels in this class, I can't really teach this as a full group pose right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what would be the benefit of doing it on the side that you have your curve on? Because now you're just tightening those already locked short muscles.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's a good opportunity to use that rotational angular breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're fluent with doing yoga postures for scoliosis, you can learn how to breathe into your rib cage in a way that works with your concavity
okay.
and your convexity.
Okay,
so
if you're like tanking.
hugging this rib in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my focus is. I'm hugging this rib in.
And keeping the other shoulder back. That's hard.
Yeah. It's there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, just felt like I had to show that at that point because it's meant to be the one. But it's difficult. It's difficult. So you can at least do the beginning version. Just act as if you're going to lift your hip off the floor without lifting, and that's a pretty safe place to start. And it's effective. It is effective in strengthening those muscles and working with the curve.
Are you familiar with, I'm sure you are, the gait pose?
Yes.
Would that be a modification or anything you would want to say about that?
Let's do. So in Doug Keller's book, he calls this a modified gait pose. It's not so much like gait pose. Okay. Let's do this one, and then we'll work into our twists. So this one, again, I'm going to show you for my... I'll just ask now, did anybody, when they did their testing, find that they had a left thoracic curve? So I can teach you the right. So this one is really nice. And my PT tells me to do it on both sides. She actually tells me to do it on this side, right? This is my side that's already curved in this way. She finds that it really helps people to just lengthen those muscles that are chronically shortened. So I will say there is benefit in doing it in both sides. But in Doug Keller's book, and I find this to be more helpful, we do it on this side. So on this side, I'm opening up this side of the thoracic spine, the upper back. And then I'm also going to take this hand behind the head here. So this one, let's see, I have to hug my shoulder back a little bit. This one is an alternative to gait pose. He calls it on a... Yeah.
What's he call it?
Actually, not gait pose. He calls it, he calls it Anantasana variation. And I couldn't quite see how he got Anantasana from that one. But let's do it together.
Looks like the 1950s supermodel.
I know. The shoulder blade in toward the midline. And so it doesn't look, there's a lot, even here, there's a lot, right? So take some breaths here. I'm kind of letting your left ribs go toward the floor a little bit. How's this one?
It feels good.
Yeah. I think it feels really good.
Yes.
Right, it's up higher.
Right.
Yeah. So
few postures. I'm going to face away from you for this one. I'm not sure if this is written on your sheet, but there's a picture of it. And I'm going to sit, I'm going to straddle my chair here, but you could always take your feet. If you have one of these handy yoga chairs, you could take your legs inside. I'm going to straddle the chair. And this one is really working with your breath. So, hair tie is done. So this one, again, it's for that right thoracic curve. I'm going to start with the hand behind the head. And just take some breaths here. So with this one, in Doug Keller's book, this one to him is about leveling the hips. So if both of my hips are on that seat, I know that the hips are the same height. And then this hand behind the head helps have the shoulder blade in. And then my second hand, my left hand, is going to come to the outside of the chair back and press in. So nice long spine. Head is pressing gently back into the hand. Left hand is pressing in. Taking some breaths here. So I don't do this one enough, but I feel a huge effect from it, just from doing it for a little while. Yeah. How's that?
I can feel it in my hips, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're shifting it. You're shifting it, yeah.
But you would only do it on the side, though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I had a left thoracic curve, I would do it.
A left C curve?
A left C curve, I would do it the other way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The hand on the chair is the opposite hand as the curve for the
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's come into twists. So delicious. Okay. So the twists that I'm going to focus on the chair now are twists for the upper back. We'll do, to finish class, we'll do some twists with the low back and then a shavasana, a resting pose. So what we do in the chair will be for the upper back. And as we talked earlier, as you saw earlier, we have this rotation of the vertebrae. So, I'll see if my brain is still waking up after 3 hours to explain this. Hopefully it is. So let me do a twist kind of the wrong way. I'm going to come right in the middle. From the core. So I'm really thinking
buttock is not fully on the chair, that's okay. Do your best to feel yourself pressed down into the chair and your spine lengthen from there. Get a little bit of tone to the belly. And then turn to hold the back of the chair. Okay, so twisting this direction, I'm going to pull with my right hand. Pull with my right hand, and pulling with my right hand, I'm going to also set my right shoulder back in space. And then I'm going to push a little bit with my left hand. Now you've got the actions of pulling and pushing with the hands. Reconnect with the length of the spine. The block is holding the knees in place, so one knee isn't forward over the other. And then back up just a little bit. Back out of your curve just a little bit and see if you can feel your breath. Breath does so much. It's like the breath massages those muscles in every posture. On this side, we're thinking about rotating the vertebra toward to the left. And then release from there. And just hold for a moment before you move, just feel the muscles release. Okay. So the other side. On the other side, what we're really trying to do is not rotate the vertebrae. The vertebrae are already rotated this way. Right? The vertebrae are already rotated this way, which is what makes the right side of the back protrude more. The right ribs protrude more. So on this side, we're not focusing on derotating the vertebrae. We're focusing mostly on placing the right shoulder blade in toward the midline. So feet first, little up to the block, little engagement of the core that helps the spine be upright. And then press into the chair with your right hand. As you press into the chair with your right hand, feel the inner edge of the right shoulder blade hug in toward your center. And take some breaths there. So twisting to the right, the action is more about what's happening in the shoulders. Twisting to the left, it's more about the rotation of the vertebrae. And that's, I think, maybe the most important thing to know about twists when you have scoliosis. And that's why it's important to know what your curve is. Alternately, if you don't like the chair as much, you can stand and take this
lot of us know this one from yoga too. Or you can take a doorway. The pectoral muscles on the side of the convexity are tight. They're used to being held forward. So shoulder blades squeeze toward each other. Yeah, there you go. And then release from there. Okay. Let's come to the floor, finally. Back to the floor. This one, we take, this is like your cobra pose, but it's targeting the upper back muscles a little more because we're not using the hands. So this one, I think you can all do it with me. Start by engaging the muscles of the legs. Give a little hug together. The thighs hug isometrically toward each other. And the low belly lifts a little bit toward the navel, toward the belly button. So you have a little lengthening of the low back. And then from there, you're going to press your forehead, press your hands into your forehead and lift the head off of the floor. Keep the elbows wide. Hold for one breath and lower back down.
So let's take that twice more. Lift up, back of the hands come on the head this way. Yeah, there you go. So you're lifting head and arms off the floor. Yeah. And lowering down. So this is strengthening the upper back. Nice. And having that angle for the elbows also helps keep the shoulder blades hugging in slightly toward each other. And that one's hard. If you find that hard, you are not alone. But helpful to keep the upper back strong. And let's just do a couple of baby cobras here while we're here. So take your hands now beside the ribcage on the floor. And we're going to come into it the same way. You'll use the muscles the same way you just did. The hands are just like a little accessory. They're giving you like 10% more lift. So on your inhalation, engage the legs, low belly engages, rolling yourself up into that little cobra. And exhale, lowering back down. So let's just move with the breath on this one. Inhaling, lifting up. Good. Elbows stay close to the ribs. Exhaling, lowering down. Good. One more. Again, looking for that roll, that segmental engagement of the muscles along the spine, the multifidi. Okay. And then just release, take your head to one side and just let your legs rock, like let your heels kind of wobble. Just releasing any tension in the hips. Okay. We're going to come onto our backs to finish. Usually there's a little difference in the psoas, left and right, the iliacus, some of those deep abdominals. So this last one I love for just stretching the deep abdominals. So you'll come onto your back, and this one is like a windshield wipers. So feel yourself settle on your back before you go into movement. And then take your feet wider than your hips, almost as wide as the sticky mat. And then from here, just let both knees drop to one side and the other. And you can look up here if you need a visual of this one, just rocking side to side. And then you'll pause. on one side. Take 4 or 5 breaths.
And if you're not sure what the action, what you're supposed to feel here, if you're not feeling a stretch, I really feel this deep in the belly muscles on the top side. And you'll switch sides if you're holding on one side. Go ahead and take the knees to the other side, and it's likely that one side feels tighter than the other. Just enjoy the stretch. Breath. Okay, so we have one person adding to this, which I love to do. We're going to take the arm, whatever side you're on, whatever knee is on top, take that same arm and stretch it behind you on the floor. Take it to the floor like you're, yeah. Here, all the way, yeah, and then deep belly muscles there. Yeah. And then you can come back to that first side and add the arm position. With Shavasana. So this is our final relaxation pose. You'll rest on your back. If you're not familiar with Shavasana, so just rest on the back to let all the muscles settle. You can take a bolster under your knees, a blanket under your head if that feels supportive. You find your mind likes to wander here, try keeping your attention on the soft inhale and exhale. Just feel the breath move in and out. And keep bringing the mind back to that if you need something to anchor the thinking mind. These last couple of minutes, just
really do your best to be heavy, let go of any effort. Just being. Now just deepening the breath a little bit. And as you prepare to open your eyes and come back to movement, just be mindful about what you take in. When you first open your eyes, taking in the light, taking in the color, as you're ready, you'll press yourself to one side and gently make your way up to a seat. If you'd like, you can join me in taking your palms together in Anjali Mudra. This gesture, palms together at the heart, means a divine offering, Anjali. And so offering yourself all the gifts and the challenges, right, as we talked earlier about all the different aspects, embracing all of them with gratitude. And thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
So we have just a couple of minutes, like 2 minutes, for questions. Before I open it up for questions, I will say yes, thank you. I do private sessions. If you want to work more specifically with your curve and your edge, I'm so happy to help you with that. Mm-hmm. I don't have business cards with me, but I do have some. I have a email list sheet in the back. The Ashton Yoga Center may have your email, but it's likely that I don't. So if you'd like to hear from me about future workshops, retreats, I am actually starting an Instagram account and finally succumbing to the social media reality that is 2019. So if you'd like anything more from me, please give me your email and I will get you on my list. And I also was asked if there are any PTs or doctors. I can't really recommend any one particular PT. I think we have so many great PTs here in Ashland. I do know that Mary Gorman in Talent does a lot with scoliosis and the Postural Restoration Institute. So she really works a lot with breathing into the rib cage in different ways. I work at Wellspring Center for Body Balance. I do one-on-one sessions at a chiropractic clinic. We have 3 chiropractors there, so I can definitely say there's some skilled
body workers and chiropractors there. So as many different angles as we have are as many different types of work and practitioners that can be helpful. I find yoga and occasional chiropractic work for me. That's what my body feels best with. So. And then, any questions about any of this? You can fire it up. Either your brain's exhausted or I covered all of it.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
So I use an inversion table and that helps me.
Yes.
But it's one of those that some people agree with and some don't. And
mm-hmm.
so, particularly scoliosis.
Mm-hmm.
Any feedback about that?
Yeah. Can you speak to why some people don't agree with it? I think I know, but.
My understanding is that it does more harm than good, and it allows the muscles to really strengthen.
Right, yeah. So that's what I've heard, and that would be my take, that if you're using the inversion table, also do the strengthening exercises.
Okay.
If we just do the inversion table, if I just do that doorknob dog, that does similar to what an inversion table would do, kind of. We also want to do the strengthening exercises, because if we just focus on stretching, then we don't have that necessary other side to deal with the muscle compensations that are happening.
Are you strapping into your inversion table too, or are you like hooking your feet?
Hooking my